Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody, to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you here this weekend. Always happy to be here with you all. And you know what? Jane Silk, she mentioned she might be hosting sometime soon, perhaps in 2 weeks. We'll see how that plays out. It would be fitting if she hosted sometime in the next couple of weeks. After all, it would be the 10th anniversary of this program. Anyway, the Silk or Joe Show is, of course, brought to you by the Main Street Radio Network, so we want to thank them very much for that because, well, without them, you wouldn't have this show. And, well, some of their clients, they don't really like the content, and sometimes management doesn't either, so we appreciate that they always support us nonetheless. That is, management does, the clients do not. They've actually lost one or two because of this. So we also want to thank them, but we want to thank the Salem Radio Network as well for distributing this program. And Main Street Radio Network is at mainstreetradionetwork.com, but you can also find them on social media, Facebook, Main Street Radio Network, Wimkin, W-I-M-K-I-N, at Main Street Radio Network. And you can also find them on Twitter at Main Street Radio. And, you know, the other program that they do, the Alan Nathan Show, once or twice, I guess, host every so often. So, you know, if you want to listen to that as well to see exactly what I'm guest hosting for, they're also on MainStreetRadioNetwork.com and also on AlanNathan.com and on Twitter at AlanNathan. And, of course, Silk or Joe Show has its own social media page, Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show. And I would be remiss also if I did not mention that we have podcasts on our website. Past editions of the show, both for this one and the Alan Nathan Show, at MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. So you miss one of the programs, go give them a listen. Anyway, on to the show today. We got some topics here. So last week, I kind of recorded the show a little bit early, which is how I ended up missing way the heck out on everything unfolding in the Middle East right now in the war with Hamas. So, interestingly enough, though, even though I didn't cover it in the show last week, I learned before Joe Biden did, and maybe even before the Biden administration itself officially learned that this stuff was happening, because I was just browsing some stuff online, and then I started seeing remarks about Hamas declaring war on Israel. I'm like, huh, well, that's not unusual, but is there something specific they're talking about? So then I go and look at it, and sure enough, shots had been fired by that point. And this is like 2 in the morning on Saturday, or 2:30 in the morning Saturday, so I'm sitting there learning about this stuff, like, then, and then Joe Biden himself, apparently he didn't learn for another 6 hours, so it could be another 4 hours. It might have been 4 in the morning now. I just don't want to give myself too much credit here. Point is, though, when I learn before the president, because I'm browsing internet forums, you know something is wrong with our system. Okay, didn't they make a whole big deal back in 2016 or whatever? It's 3 a.m. Who do you want answering the phone? the whole point being that Hillary Clinton was more qualified to handle foreign crises in the middle of the night or disasters in the middle of the night than Donald Trump might be, because, you know, spur of the moment and all that, no time to prepare. Hillary Clinton thus had qualifications to improvise, whereas Trump did not. I guess that was the point of the campaign. But with Joe Biden, apparently, it's just gotta wait. War breaks out and his advisors don't even know until after it's on the internet, apparently. Which is why I wasn't quite certain about the timeline for me, because his advisors also didn't learn until after this stuff was floating around online forums and stuff. So maybe they were browsing the same one I was when we all found out together. But then Joe Biden himself, he wasn't up at 3 a.m. to answer that phone call. No, he was sound asleep for another 5 hours. I guess they just they know he's absolutely useless before 8 in the morning, and he's probably absolutely useless after 3 in the afternoon, too. You know, forget the 3 a.m. phone call. The 3 p.m. phone call is going to be bad enough for Joe Biden. Speaking of Joe Biden and his relationship with this crisis, and I guess the Biden administration in general, now this, they actually funded this to some extent. Because Hamas, they got a lot of their money from Iran, okay? And we just gave $6 billion to Iran. Now, the Biden administration says, oh, that was Iran's money to spend already. They always had it. But the Biden administration also said that Iran didn't have access to that money until we gave it to them. So now that Iran has access to that money, they're free to take money from somewhere else and spin it on this. Actually, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said as much, that Iran tends to do this kind of thing. They'll spend money, they prioritize terrorism funding, is what he said. And so, you know, they're going to take money from somewhere else, and, like, the humanitarian stuff that $6 billion that we're giving them was supposed to go to. You know, Iran will take the money it was spending on that already, spend it on terrorism, and then take the $6 billion in to make up for the costs. So it's kind of like money laundering, but basically through money laundering through Iran, we funded this attack that Hamas is committing. And the Biden administration is just desperately trying not to look like they have any blame for it whatsoever. And I'm starting to wonder, too, about the intelligence failures that led to this, because, you know, again, going back to the Biden administration, I may actually... I didn't say it on the air, but I write out a lot of monologues because a lot of issues make me mad, and I just kind of get to the ones that I can get to in any given show because I've only got 20 minutes or so worth of monologue time, right? So I had one written out last week about how the deep state, they went to the New York Times and had them publish some talking points for them, and basically the thrust of the deep state's talking points was that we're about to learn some misinformation about Ukraine designed by the Russians to make us not support Ukraine very much anymore. And sure enough, a week later, we learned that Hamas is using weapons that were sold to them by Ukraine. Now, the deep state wants us to think that that is Russian propaganda. That's what everyone's saying about it. But the problem with that is, you guys warned about it in a week in advance, so either you knew this, either you knew that, either way, whether it's true or not, they knew that Hamas was going to be using these weapons and this conflict was coming. So, because their story is that Russia gave them these captured American weapons and are saying that Ukraine funded it, but then... you know, of course, the other possibility is, in fact, that Ukraine just sold them. So, either way, our intelligences knew that these weapons would be seen in Hamas's hands. Now, why would we see these weapons in Hamas's hands unless Hamas was using them? So, we seem to have known a week in advance that this attack was coming and did nothing, because our intelligence groups, they're more concerned with, climate change, wokeness, persecuting political opponents, and hating on Russia than they are about protecting our allies. And it doesn't really surprise me at all that our intel services would be filled with people like that, because, well, look at the universities that they came from, and look at how those universities are reacting right now. University of Wisconsin, you know, all this, by the way, that I'm about to tell you, all these quotes and stuff, all this came out after the attack started, after the videos of Hamas butchering people, women, children, came out, okay? So all these people I'm about to tell you that declared solidarity, they did so after we knew about the brutality that Hamas was inflicting. University of Wisconsin, students cheered Hamas. Glory to the martyrs are what they're saying. And then you have, Ryna Workman, the president of New York University's Student Bar Association, she said she fully supports Palestine and the Jews are asking for it. Now, these college people, by the way, are the people who'll be running our country in the future. In fact, I dare say, as I mentioned a moment ago, some of them are already running it, like in our intelligence services. And we're seeing horrifying statements of solidarity like this from Stanford University, Harvard University, George Washington University, University of Virginia, California State University, Swarthmore University, University of California, Berkeley, George Mason University. You know, all these are up and up pretty good colleges, Ivy League types in some cases, like Harvard, and we are seeing statements of solidarity. Now, you know that our government hires from these high Ivy League places that are coming out in support of Hamas. So we also know that the government has been hiring from these Ivy League places that are coming out in support of Hamas after all these videos of their barbarism are out there, after we already know what they're doing. So it stands to reason that we have an intelligence community that's been recruiting from this particular pool of candidates who are pro-Hamas already, and that kind of explains why we didn't warn Israel, even though apparently we tipped our hand by admitting that stuff about the Russian propaganda. Again, how would we know about this Russia propaganda weeks in advance unless we knew that an attack was coming? It doesn't make much sense that we wouldn't know. Oh, here we go. Students for Justice in Palestine at Swarthmore University, quote, honors the martyrs and calls for more indiscriminate killing of Jews. Terrific. So, we are just... it's disturbing, too, and disgusting, all the stuff that's coming out from all these major student groups, major massive student groups, hundreds of, if not thousands of college students coming out in support of this stuff, and in fact discriminating against Jews on campus now. So, really, the anti-Semitism of the left is coming out full force, and a lot of people are suffering from it. A lot of people are being persecuted here, and then, of course, you have the Hamas stuff going on. Wonder how much they're donating to that cause. More of Silk or Joshua after this break.
Calling all cheese curd enthusiasts. October 15th marks National Cheese Curd Day, a holiday introduced by Culver's in 2015 and celebrated by curd lovers everywhere. In fact, Culver's sold over 41 million orders of Wisconsin cheese curds last year. What makes them so amazing? Chef Quinn Adkins, the director of menu development for Culver's, explains.
A cheese curd is basically small bites of unaged cheddar cheese, and we lightly bread them and fry them until they're crispy, so you get this warm, buttery, gooey, cheesy bite of deliciousness.
And what better way to commemorate this special day than stopping by your local Culver's on October 15th and picking up not only an order of cheese curds, but pairing it with the limited-time fan-favorite Curter Burger. The burger is on the menu at all Culver's locations nationwide, now through October 31st, or while supplies last. Visit culvers.com to find the restaurant nearest you.
Parents have the opportunity to be that financial role model for their kids. And teens actually tell us that the best way to learn about investing is from their families. So for the parents out there, you might be wondering how. So let me give you three suggestions. So number one, first, have a conversation about investing. Have those money discussions. Talk to your teen about what investing is, why it's important, and how they can get started. So speaking of get started, point number two, help them get access to the tools and education they need to begin their investing journey. For example, the Fidelity Youth App. With the Fidelity Youth App, teens ages 13 through 17 can save, spend, and invest their own money, of course with parental oversight, and they can start investing with as little as a dollar. They have access to a debit card, they can earn money, and there's a ton of free education within the app. And third, and I get it, this can be a tough one, we have to let teens make some money decisions on their own. For more information, download the Fidelity Youth App or visit fidelity.com/youth to learn more.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids for multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve. It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
I have friends who were killed. I have family hunkered right down right now in Ashkelon. I have staff who can't locate members of their family. This is the worst of days. And we have got to stop referring to what happened on Saturday as an attack, as if it was military on military. This was a massacre. This was a slaughter. You know, and thank God for the Rev and the civil rights groups like the National Urban League and the NAACP, who, thanks to the National Action Network, they stood up. But where are the university presidents who gave clear statements about all these other causes that mattered? Black Lives Matter. Stop AAPI hate. It matters. Stand for Ukraine. It matters. Why are they silent on dead Jews? Why is my inbox empty with messages from CEOs, from major religious movements? Where are they?
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show. That was Jonathan Greenblatt, CEO of the Anti-Defamation League, on MSNBC earlier this week. He was talking about how all these groups that were very quick to jump on the bandwagon of Black Lives Matter did not jump in to declare solidarity with Israel in this horrific time. And I think part of the problem here is that Black Lives Matter itself has not quite been united in supporting Israel. In fact, there's at least three chapters that I know of that have come out and said outright they stand with Hamas. And given the influence that they have, maybe that's why universities and CEOs are scared of jumping in. So joining us now to talk about this, we have Craig DeLuz. He is member of the National Center for Public Policy Research's Project 21. He is founder of the Uncommon Sense Media Group, has almost 30 years in media, political advocacy, political analysis, and grassroots activism. He is president and CEO also for the 2A News Corporation, as well as spokesman for the California Republican Assembly. Craig DeLuz, thank you very much for being on the show. How are you today?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right, but I'm somewhere between, you know, horrifically saddened at what's going on in Israel and livid at the response that some of the people in America are having with it.
Well, and that is definitely quite understandable. You know, this is the problem with our politics here is we've turned into this. We take every single issue, and it's always got to be, well, you're either on the right or you're on the left. Instead of looking at situations like this where it's very clear, you're either on the right or you're on the wrong. And sadly, in many cases, some of these Black Lives Matter chapters, some of these university presidents and university groups that are choosing to stand with Hamas, they are clearly in the wrong.
Mm-hmm. And some of them, too, have come out, you know, some of these people, students, groups and the like have come out and just said outright when they talk about how they want equity and decolonization, what Hamas is doing is the method that they prefer, which just makes it even more alarming that this sort of ideology of extremism has taken such root here. And, you know, you can sort of understand maybe it going on in Palestine where Hamas has had ironclad control of the country for decades, but when it comes to America, you know, you think that such thing should be foreign to us.
Well, you would think that it would, but I think many of us who are more conservative, many of us who've been paying attention to groups like Black Lives Matter, like Antifa, we've recognized this in them, and in that they have attacked conservatives, they have attacked individuals. And they have supported things like this on much, much smaller scales, but now it's being revealed that what their actual goals are. And once again, for them, the ends justify the means, which means in their eyes, as long as they get their decolonization or as long as they get their revolution, they don't care how many innocent people are killed, how many are raped, how many children are beheaded. They don't air.
Yeah, like it was Black Lives Matter Chicago on social media. They issued their statement of solidarity by showing a kind of a drawing of the Palestinian paragliders who came in and tore up a peace concert. You know, not even a military target, just a bunch of civilians. And you know, if that's not showing what your statement of solidarity is, that you don't care if civilians are massacred, I don't know what is, except also Black Lives Matter Chicago ironically denied that civilians were hurt, even though the image they put on social media is taken from that event.
Well, you know, they have since kind of backed away from that comment where they were like, you know, they understood why people were, quote unquote, offended by it. But they did not fully pull away from it and recognize the atrocity that it was. I do believe that you can believe in the cause of the Palestinian people and yet still condemn what Hamas did, condemn the massacre and the atrocities that occurred. And the sad part is that many of those who are trying to parse the argument are simply saying they stand with the Palestinian people and not condemning what Hamas has done. And the point that I'm making here is that the argument, the thing that we are all focused on and we're all concerned and we're all upset about right now is what Hamas did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of these people, you know, coming out with the solidarity statements towards what Hamas did, you know, some of them just outright say they support what Hamas did. But then, as you mentioned, some of them back down. You know, my concern is that, you know, they're backing down not because they declare solidarity with the Palestinian people and they, you know, overstepped by saying that they love what Hamas did, but rather they actually do believe in what Hamas did. But when they found out it wasn't as popular as they thought it should be, that's when they back down. So they only back down for PR reasons rather than ideological ones.
Well, and I think it's actually there's another prong to it. And I do believe that there are some people who did not realize until they started seeing in the media exactly what was going on. So some people just heard, well, there was an attack. And part of this I blame on the mainstream media who tried to sanitize what was going on in the initial stages, just calling it, you know, an assault or an attack, acting as if it was a military endeavor. But as the truth came out, as the videos were posted online, people started to see it for exactly what it was. And, you know, here's the scariest part about all of this. It was not the conservative media that was posting these videos. It was not the pro-Israeli or pro-Jewish media that was posting these videos. This was Hamas. These were the people who were engaged in these atrocities. They were not just doing them. They were celebrating them. They were admiring them. And that makes it even worse, because what they're saying is not only did we do this, but we celebrate doing this, and we want the world to know how we do things.
Mm-hmm. And one of the founders of Hamas, forgot the guy's name, but he came out and said that he hopes this is a call for people all over the world to rise up and do similar acts.
Yes, and once again, that just goes to show that is their motivation, and that is the reason why Netanyahu is correct when he says that Hamas, it's time for Hamas to go. It's time to destroy, to get rid of this organization and anybody within this organization, because it is an organization that has demonstrated there is nothing redeeming about it. There is. Any organization that's willing to celebrate atrocities like this needs to be gone.
Mm-hmm. Craig DeLuz, appreciate you being on the Silk Road Joe Show today. Again, listeners, he's a member of the National Center for Public Policy Research's Project 21 and founder of the Uncommon Sense Media Group. We've got more Silk Road Joe Show after this break.
Jerome Bettis is an NFL Hall of Famer. While many people know of the bus's accomplishments on the field, few know of his struggles to get on the field in his younger days.
I was diagnosed with asthma at 14, and as an avid athlete, ensuring I wasn't aggravating that condition was critical to my performance. I started learning about different air pollutants and discovered many are found within the home. To test your home air quality, call an AirServe Enabling Company professional. AirServe professionals will go through a discovery stage that discusses issues in the home, such as dry throat, allergies, asthma, headaches, and fatigue. They can then analyze the air in the house. Once the analysis is complete, they will recommend proper indoor air quality products and solutions.
To learn more, go to airserve.com/the bus.
School is back in session. Unwind with the kids at the end of the day with the Nintendo Switch family of systems and games everyone can enjoy. Choose the game system that fits your family, like Nintendo Switch and the Nintendo Switch OLED model, both great for playing on TV and on the go, or Nintendo Switch Lite for handheld mode. Navigate through the dangers of Hyrule in The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom game, or check out the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Course Pass DLC and race your way through 48 additional courses from the Mario Kart series. Work together to command small plant-like creatures and explore a mysterious planet in the Pikmin 4 game. Or dive into Minecraft. Discover two modes that allow you to build fantastical creations and experience epic adventures. For more, go to Nintendo.com. Full version of game required to use DLC for that game. Additional accessories may be required for multiplayer mode. Game, systems, DLC, and some accessories sold separately.
Rated E to E10+. Plus.
A message from MyCataracts.com. September is Healthy Aging Month, and a recent survey led by Alcon, the global leader in eye care, found that cataract surgery gives millions of people the chance to turn back the clock on their vision. Dr. Netta Shammy says the results are compelling.
There are several exciting findings stemming from the Alcon Ion Cataract Survey. Post-cataract surgery, 90% of respondents report better vision, 71% report they have an improvement in quality of life, and about half feel they have the vision of someone younger.
Dr. Shammy performs more than 1,000 cataract surgeries every year and says many people do not know how cataract surgery works or that it can correct your vision.
Cataract surgery is the most frequently performed surgery on earth. The procedure is not painful and involves implanting a permanent lens implant into the eye. Before surgery, a person can choose from several lens options to fit their unique needs.
For treatment options and more information, go to MyCataracts.com.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Hamas is a humanitarian organization.
What is the president's message to members of Congress who seem to be equating the Hamas terror attack with actions that were previously taken by Israel?
So look, I've seen some of those statements this weekend, and we're going to continue to be very clear. We believe they're wrong. We believe they're repugnant, and we believe they're disgraceful. Our condemnation belongs squarely with terrorists who have brutally murdered, raped, kidnapped hundreds of Israelis. There can be no equivocation about that. There are not two sides here. There are not two sides. President Biden has been clear on where he has stood. You heard from him directly today. You heard from him also on Saturday on this. There's been multiple statements from this president, and he's taking action to provide additional support to ensure that Israel has what they need to defend themselves.
Back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe here with you all this weekend. So what you just heard were two clips hit air. The first one was Nancy Pelosi, former House Speaker, but that was from July of 2014, where she said Hamas was a humanitarian organization on CNN's State of the Union, their Sunday talk show. So very prominent. That's one of the shows that people tune into weekly for their news, more so than other programs perhaps on CNN. So very prominent place to make that statement that Hamas was a humanitarian organization. And, you know, that back then, okay, Hamas hadn't done anything quite at the level of barbarism they're doing now, but they had been well known for using human shields after first assaulting Israel and then putting children around their rocket emplacements so that when Israel responded, there'd be definite civilian casualties. You couldn't take out a military target without hurting civilians. That's how Hamas designed the whole thing. And the Palestinian people, for some reason, just went along with it. Well, they voted for this sort of thing back in, what, 95 or whenever Hamas first took power. So, again, you couldn't really even, in 2014, call Hamas a humanitarian organization, as people have been. Like Nancy Pelosi there. And then the next clip, of course, was from the White House, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. She finally said something I agree with, where she universally condemned Hamas and anyone in Congress who supported them. So kudos to her and the Biden administration for breaking with the radicals in their party for once. That was a very unexpected move, especially, again, considering that the Biden administration may have funded Hamas, but perhaps that is a sign of a schism going on there, where you have the more moderates in the Biden administration realizing that the radical leftists who told them everything would be all right if they gave Iran $6 billion, suddenly they realize, okay, that didn't work out the way we did it. These guys just put us in a lot of political hot water. We got to distance ourselves from them and, you know, maybe try and shift the blame onto them at some future point. Because, again, I'm pretty sure our intelligence sources knew that this was going to happen, and just the radical leftists in our intelligence industry decided, nothing, don't worry about it, it's not worth reporting, let it succeed. At least that's how it seems, because, well, like I said in the opening segment, the deep staters, the radical deep state folks who want to overthrow democracy in this country and ban all Republicans, execute them, or whatever they plan to do with us, they are the ones who went to the New York Times with a bunch of talking points that the New York Times basically acted as stenographers for. They didn't question any of these talking points. And the general thrust of them was that there would be Russia propaganda coming up designed to make Ukraine look bad and hurt support for the war in Ukraine. Sure enough, a week later, we start hearing that Hamas is using weapons sold to them by Ukraine. And then our intelligence people start saying, oh yeah, well, these weapons were actually given to them by Russia to make the Ukraine look bad. These are weapons just captured from the battlefield. That's why they're American weapons. The Russians just captured them, gave them to Hamas as a sort of publicity stunt to make Ukraine look bad, right? But then whether or not you believe the official line about what happened, it doesn't matter because we know that the intelligence community knew about this because they tipped off the New York Times that this sort of thing was coming. And how would we know either way what kind of weapons Hamas was using unless they were using them? You don't see reports about Hamas using this and that weapon when they're sitting there doing nothing, do you? No. Not unless it's just a reference to a past attack. You don't hear about what they're currently going to use until they've used it. So how would our, again, how would our intelligence community be expecting a story about what weapons Hamas is using to come out unless Hamas was going to use them and they knew it? So I'm pretty sure that we had that knowledge in advance and didn't warn anybody about it. So it's rather disgusting to think that that is the extent of politics and politicization in our intelligence community. Then again, our intelligence community is pretty much useless unless it comes to lying about Russia or persecuting American citizens. They've got that down pretty good. And of course, leftists in general have been coming out against the Israel and on the side of Hamas and the butchers there. Now, you know, part of it is it could be that they needed a new war anyway to keep the military industrial complex fueled. So they decided that, funding this Hamas attack would be a good thing in order to do that. But, that's a bit conspiracy theory for my tastes. But then there's also, you got these left-wing anti-war groups here that are, I'm just going through the disjointed bullet points I've been making about this war for the last week or so, partly out of regret of not being able to cover it on my show because I taped it early. So, you know, you got these, it's ironic, you have Code Pink and anti-war groups, they announce their support for Hamas killing over 1,000, kidnapping people, raping, slaughtering people, including at a dance party. So that's like, there's 260 civilians at that dance party that they killed. So you have anti-war groups supporting that? It's kind of a topsy-turvy thing. like how you have all these radical leftists who think it's okay to punch a Nazi, yet they're on the side of Hamas, who are the closest living relatives to the Nazis today. Because Hamas, what are they? They are a bunch of nationalists, for sure. They are anti-Semitic, and they are definitely barbaric. So it's all the qualifications for being a Nazi, and also totalitarian, mind you, because, well, they were elected exactly once, and that was it. They have been in power ever since for decades. So they have all the qualifications of being the modern Nazi party, except that they aren't white, but they are still ethno-nationalists, right? They still think that their ethnicity is superior, so even though they're not white nationalists, they're still ethno-nationalists. So it's just like, again, the closest living relatives to the Nazi party, and yet those people who say it's okay to punch a Nazi and then proceed to shoot Trump supporters in the street, they're on the side of Hamas in this, as they butcher a bunch of people. And you got anti-war groups, again, like Code Pink. They were founded to oppose the Iraq war. Here they are supporting Hamas starting a war in a most heinous way. And then, of course, there's the Democratic Socialists of America. You know that party. This is the party that several congresswomen belong to. Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ayanna Presley, Summer Lee, and then Cori Bush. And you also have Jamal Bowman and Greg Kasar. Those are congressmen, not congresswomen. So had to separate them. And Cori Bush, though, especially, she's the one who said that she needs private security because of the threats against her, but you don't need police to protect you. And here she is in the party that's supporting Hamas, and she has not denounced them. So, 8 members of Congress altogether support Hamas, dragging a dead naked German woman through the streets and spitting on her corpse. That video came out well before these people. That was one of the first videos that came out, as a matter of fact, posted by Hamas, as you heard in the last segment. But, you know, so, like, you see all this stuff, but aren't we told that there's a, especially by these 8 members of Congress, aren't we told that women have a sisterhood or something, and they were the more compassionate ones, the more empathetic? And, well, these people really put the pathetic and empathetic, don't they? We heard that from them, from their mouths during the Kavanaugh stuff, yet they're totally silent about, or in support of, in the case of Rashida Tlaib. She flies a Palestinian flag outside her office, still, and she issued a statement in support of Hamas. After all this stuff had come out, after all this barbarism and butchery came out, she still flies that flag. She still issued that statement of support. And the rest of these people, they've just either been silent or stated their own support for it, too. And, you know, all this stuff, you know, I talked about the Biden administration's response earlier in the opening segment. Well, their response is a little bit more nuanced than I let on. Because even after all this came out, all this knowledge came out, the day after all this stuff came out, you have pro-Palestinian war criminal lovers cheering in front of the White House while Joe Biden was enjoying a picnic lunch with a live band. So that was a day after he learned about the Hamas stuff going on. But he still do all that, still have fun with the protesters, whatever, who cares. And I also want to point out something, too. All these pro-Hamas Democrats that just seem to love scenes of corpses being desecrated, what do you think they're willing to do to you? They think so little of life that they didn't care that a peace concert with their own ideological allies was butchered by Hamas. They cheered it on. They think mass murder and genocide is Hamas's right. They've outright said it outright. This is what they mean when they say decolonization, inequity. This is how they plan to achieve it. Some of their organizations have said it. So... What do you think that they're going to do this do to us when they get the chance, right? And they might have the chance sooner than you think, because the Biden administration has allowed 2 million people in across the southern border, and many of them have come from the Middle East. You know, from the numbers I saw, 10,000 mixture of Afghanis, Syrians, and other ethnicities coming in. And that's just the ones we've caught. So we probably have a lot of these terrorists on deck, ready to go. And, you know, Hezbollah, they're Iran's group that they use to fund all this terrorism internationally and all that, they have a strong presence in Venezuela. Venezuela declared solidarity with them. So Venezuela, for those of you geographically challenged, is, in fact, within walking distance of the southern border, basically based on how the other refugees have been, alleged refugees have been walking across. And all these people that are coming across that you see, a lot of them are males, single males, fighting age. You don't really flee occupations, and you don't you're not really much of a refugee if it's just you, a single male, and none of your family is coming along with you. What are they coming in for? What do they have planned? Is this, you know, George Soros, he actually has funded a pro-Hamas organization. Is he dedicated some billions to arming a pro-Hamas group in the U.S., getting ready for something in case the American military strikes and tries to stop the Palestinians from going savage? We'll see. More Silk or Joshua after this break.
AI technology is going to have a profound benefit for all of society, but in particular, it will have a beneficial impact for small businesses. In fact, a new report by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce looked at the impact of technology on small business. And what we found was that one quarter of small businesses are already using AI, with 40% looking to use it in the future. Some of those uses will be marketing and promotions, or helping small businesses communicate with customers and find new customers in the future. We see a 12% jump between businesses that use AI and those that don't in terms of a likelihood of profitability. But when it comes to technology at large, 75% of small businesses say that tech helps them compete with larger companies. It's also important that we get risk-based regulation to help small businesses understand the rules of the road, but help individuals trust this new technology that will benefit us all. If you want to learn more about the work at the U.S. Chamber on Technology, or our new Responsible AI Business Leadership Initiative, please visit us at uschamber.com.
Enjoy an ice-cold Coke from Burger King while supporting your community. Coca-Cola is a proud supporter of the Burger King Foundation, which has granted over $60 million in scholarships to over 55,000 scholars, creating brighter futures and positive change in the lives of children and families through education. Now through the end of November, join Burger King in raising funds for the Burger King Foundation's education initiatives and enjoy three delicious menu items for just a dollar. Visit a participating Burger King restaurant and purchase three coupons for $1 to help positively impact your community. Each coupon gets you your choice of a free small soft drink or coffee, free small fries or hash browns, and a free small soft serve. All funds raised stay local, right in your zip code. Burger King Foundation scholarships are open to team members and community members, and your dollar makes a difference. So go ahead and have it your way, and know that you're also giving back to your community. Visit your local participating restaurant or www.burgerkingfoundation.org for more information.
We conducted a survey to better understand how generational differences impact attitudes and behaviors around people's money habits. Over 60% of people admitted to making poor decisions when it came to money, and 42% claimed that they were struggling financially.
Some of the most common bad money habits were writing off small purchases as insignificant, gambling, which doesn't necessarily mean casinos as much as it also could mean buying lottery tickets, and using credit cards to pay bills, which can be troublesome, and they contribute to the cycle of debt because they create a pattern of financial instability and reliance on credit to maintain a certain lifestyle or unexpected or unnecessary expenses.
National Debt Relief's mission is to help people, not just with their immediate debt, but also with behavioral change that can contribute to people building a more secure financial future for themselves and their families. You can fill out a form at nationaldebtrelief.com or call us at 800-718-0487 for free consultation.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy, and I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
These Iranian monies that were in a Korean bank have always been available to Iran to use for humanitarian purposes. But for a lot of technical reasons, they weren't able to access those funds where they were. So the funds were moved to another bank where we have absolute oversight of how they're used, absolute confidence in the process and the system that's been set up.
What do you say about the argument that money is fungible? So Iran may have known this money is coming and used other funds to help fund this attack that happened.
Iran has unfortunately always used and focused its funds on supporting terrorism, on supporting groups like Hamas. And it's done that when there have been sanctions. It's done that when there haven't been sanctions. And it's always prioritized that. And again, I come back to the proposition that from these funds have always been, under the law, available to Iran to use for humanitarian purposes.
Back to the Silk Road Joe Show, everybody. That was the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken. First, you heard him on September 18th saying that Iran had $6 billion available to them, but they couldn't access it. And then followed when he was challenged on NBC's Meet the Press by Kristen Welker on October 8th, he said, well, they actually had, he said without qualification they had access to those funds, even though a couple of weeks before he admitted we had to actually move them for them to be able to use them. So that money that probably ended up supporting in some way or other what's going on with Hamas right now. And just one more point I would like to make about that before moving to our current guest, that Iran expelled it the UN nuclear inspectors the moment that money was made available to it. So the predicted breakout time now for Iran to get a nuclear weapon is about 2 weeks. So plenty of time has passed since then. Iran may have a nuclear weapon, and we might see that in Israel, and that would be an absolute horror. But joining us now, we have Michael Letts, CEO and founder of Invest USA, a national grassroots nonprofit providing police with bulletproof vests, and he has a 30 years experience in law enforcement. Michael, always happy to talk with you. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's a privilege to be on your show, and thank you for what you're doing to get the truth out. America needs to hear it.
Oh, thank you, sir. So what have you been seeing with all of this going on with Hamas?
Well, you have a couple of very pressing issues. First of all, we know from intelligence, I have a background in intelligence, we know from intelligence sources in the Middle East that this seems to be simply a precursor to your attacks upon the United States. We know for a fact that there are thousands of terrorists that have crossed the open borders that we've had in Mexico. And we know that for a fact from a standpoint that thousands are on the terrorist watch list. And we've lost track of them. So, you know, they didn't come over here for a vacation. They came over for nefarious reasons. And we are very much at risk now. And what you have seen occurring in Gaza, this is not a battle. This is not warfare. This is guerrilla warfare. It's terrorism. And they have one purpose in mind, and that's to shock and terrorize the American people. That's what you're seeing them doing. Find it interesting that they're targeting children, women, and yet I see no women's organizations coming out and condemning what Hamas is doing to terrorize women across the world.
Well, no, actually, if anything, organizations like that seem to be on Hamas's side. You know, just earlier I was talking about Code Pink, for example, coming out and supporting Hamas, of all things. And you're supposed to be anti-war group and all that, but you're supporting Hamas. What's going on with that?
It is just amazing, the idiocracy of what we're talking about and their positions. And they do that, quite frankly, for one reason, because they know good and well that there's no common sense or logic to what they do. It's all about control. It's all about them determining what is best for themselves, not for anybody else. And they hate America. They hate Israel, but they hate America because we are a land of the free, and they can't stand for people to have freedom. They want to do everything they can to destroy that. And that's why they've targeted us. We are on. It's not a matter of if. It's about a when. And quite frankly, what we're seeing from the intelligence community is that when may be coming very quickly.
And a lot of this seems to have just been also triggered in one way or another by the incompetence or deliberate acts of the Biden administration. I still haven't figured it out yet, because there's plenty of, you know, we're seeing across all these universities, right, all these people coming out in support of Hamas, even after their butchery becomes known. There's still all these university kids supporting Hamas. Well, we know that also the Biden administration has recruited officials from these universities who probably share similar views. So it's like when you hear that we gave the $6 billion to Iran that probably was laundered into money for Hamas, and then when you hear about the border letting all these terrorists in, you got to wonder, was that deliberate or not by all these ideologues?
Well, there's no question it was deliberate, and here's why I stand by that position. Not only did we provide the funding through the $6 billion to Iran, but this administration left $86 billion worth of military hardware in Afghanistan. And quite frankly, here's another shell shocker. You know, we left a lot of ordnances behind in Afghanistan, but not missiles and rockets. Those missiles and rockets very well could be traced back to what we're providing to Ukraine. You know, and this administration has taken a position, regardless of the feelings of the American people, we're going to continue to shovel armaments to Ukraine, not just weapons, but we're talking about armaments like missiles and rockets, and they may end up being used against our very selves because of it. So this administration has played an active role in supporting Hamas and its massacre.
And just to put a finer point on it, some of those weapons in Afghanistan that we left behind have been found in the hands of Hamas, and you have the Taliban talking with various countries trying to get an open road to so they can send fighters from Afghanistan to Israel in order to fight on the side of Hamas.
That's correct. And we do have intel that shows that Iran is working to grant them that access so that they partner with Hamas. And like I said, it's not just Hamas. They're partnering with Hezbollah. They're partnering with ISIS. They are determined to make sure that this becomes a holy jihad. You know, their position from an Islamic standpoint is those who do not believe in Islam are considered infidels. And according to the Quran, infidels need to be eliminated. And so they're going to do their best to make sure that occurs worldwide. And we're helping them do it. That's the saddest part about it. It's time that we as Americans tell this our government, enough is enough. We will not tolerate this anymore. We will not comply with your unconstitutional mandates. We are going to secure the border ourselves and dare the government to do anything about it.
Yeah, and you know, they make it pretty clear what they mean by their global jihad. Hamas had in its charter, wipe out all the Jews. So, yet you have all these leftists in America supporting them, you know, not just in the government, but the students and all that stuff. I got to wonder, we're about out of time, so real quick, what do you suspect about, you know, could they be housing such people thinking that they're nice and then suddenly they're going to get betrayed by them?
I think that's part of their strategy. They've done that for years. You know, they portray one thing, and then when the time comes to take an opportunity, they capitalize on it. You're going to see that happening, and America's going to be shocked. I'm just hoping that our programs will keep people awake before it happens.
All right, Michael Letts, CEO and founder of InvestUSA, appreciate being on the Silker Joe Show. And listeners, I appreciate you coming along for the show as well this week. And we can be found on the internet, mainstreamradionetwork.com, social media, Getter, GETTR.com, at Silker Joe Show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.